G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
And today we are talking about the F word. It's a word I never like to talk about. It's a subject as a pastor I never like to preach about, mainly because I knew that if I preach it, I'm probably going to be tested in it and have to go on a journey where I'd have to actually activate this word. Because often on this program, we like to reflect on the fact that times are changing. People seem harder, less tolerant, and more likely to seek revenge than to pursue the F word. And the F word stands for forgiveness. So a conversation today about why so many don't hold tightly to the sorts of values many of us were raised with, shaping our view of the world. None of us are immune to being hurt by people we encounter, people we know, and sometimes even people we love. But when we refuse to forgive, we inflame division, whether it's in our families, our workplaces, our churches, or wider communities. So an opportunity for a deep dive today into the whole area of forgiveness. And Reverend Dr. Dan Anderson is director of the Lachlan Macquarie Institute based in Canberra. He trains Christian men and women for wise leadership who are biblically faithful, culturally intelligent, and positively engaged for the common good. And Reverend Dan, I'd like to welcome you to 2020 today.
Thanks so much, Andrew. That was a fantastic introduction to the topic as well. I've been a pastor as well, and I like you. I know that if you speak on this topic, I've got a finger pointing back at my own life. And also, I'm aware of the questions that people have. Every time I speak about forgiveness, people will come up to me afterwards and they'll have a whole bunch of very tricky questions. So it's a tricky topic, but one that's really worth thinking about together.
It is, Dan. And just some insight for those of us our listeners who aren't pastors. Generally what happens, I found anyway, Dan, when I preach a message on a Sunday when I really felt inspired to cover a certain topic, I would find opportunity to put that into practice. So if I ever preached about personal evangelism, I just knew that I would encounter someone in the next couple of days where I would be able to witness to them. But I also knew if I preached about forgiveness that someone somewhere was going to do something to me and I would have to forgive them. So I never liked to preach about forgiveness in my human side, but my spiritual side obviously loved it, because whenever I preached about this, I just saw people literally experience transformation, because many people then, aren't they? They're bound up by unforgiveness.
I think that's exactly right, Andrew. Yeah, and it is, like you say, there's a kind of bondage in there. The practice of forgiveness is something that is incredibly liberating. It sets us free from being a prisoner of the wrong that was done.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Like scripturally, let's start with the Bible, in case some of our listeners today are new to the Bible or maybe don't even read the Bible. In a nutshell, what does the New Testament say about forgiveness and unforgiveness, Dan?
There's a couple of different places that you could go to think about that. One of the most obvious, perhaps, for those of us who are Christians, is in the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. So right at the heart of that prayer, you might call it the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our sins or our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. And what he's getting us to pray there and putting it right at the center of the prayer is that one of the things that we need for our lives is relational healing, isn't it? Relational togetherness again. And in some ways, the Lord's Prayer is structured about the things that we really need. We really need God's name to be glorified in the world. We really need his kingdom to come. We really need our daily bread, and we really need forgiveness. And I think any of us who've been around for long enough and know the pain of being wronged or of wronging other people, we know how deeply we need that relational healing. So that would be one place to go. Another place would be in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul is talking about the fact that we've been we've died with Christ. Our old life is gone. It's been buried with Christ in baptism, and now we live a new life with Christ. And then when he talks about putting on the new self in Colossians chapter 3, one of the things that he says is that the new self is characterized by forgiving each other as the Lord forgave us. So there'd be two places. that say that forgiveness is really central to living as Christians and living together.
Absolutely. Well, let's stop there, Dan, because I want to ask you for your opinion or your perception of this. Why do you think forgiveness is so important to God?
Well, I think forgiveness is part of being a new creature. So this is the other place I was going to go, Andrew. One of the most astonishing things in the life of Jesus in the Gospel of John is that when after he's raised from the dead, he appears to his disciples in a locked room. And he comes to them, and they're obviously a little bit freaked out, and he breathes on them. It's a very strange thing to do, and not at all COVID safe, is it? But he comes and he breathes on them, and he says, "Receive the Spirit." And then he says, "Whoever you forgive will be forgiven, and whoever you don't forgive won't be forgiven." And it's this moment of almost a new creation, just like in the original creation when God created created Adam, he breathed his life into them. Now Jesus is breathing his life into his disciples. And the first thing that he commissions them to do is go and forgive. And it's because forgiveness is a way of granting new life to people. When we forgive others, we grant a new life to them and a new relationship between us with them. So I think it matters to God because he's in the business of creating new life.
That's really good. I haven't heard that before. I'm glad I asked you for your opinion there. And but you know, obviously, on top of all that, we just know the Bible says you've got to forgive, and you just have to forgive. And you know, we're going to open up the talkback lines, not right now, but in a few minutes, Dan. And I'd love people to phone in with your story, how you've had to deal with forgiveness, because I'm sure all of us have got a story and a journey. And your story and your journey may encourage someone else today. Because the sad thing is, many of us have been hurt and traumatized by the actions of others, and forgiving them doesn't condone those actions, does it, Dan? It doesn't say that what they've done is okay, but God still says, look, I'll take care of the perpetrator. You just need to forgive them. You need to let go of that hurt, let go of that bitterness, and let go of that unforgiveness, and just leave it in God's hands. And it is a real step of faith. But we would love to hear your stories when we do open up the talkback lines in a couple of minutes time. But Dan, have you got a story that really comes to mind of someone you know or you've encountered or you've mentored or ministered to who has had to forgive, and in that forgiveness they found the joy and the freedom that God promises us?
Yeah, I mean, everyone who thinks deeply about forgiveness, and I wrote a PhD on the topic, has their own personal stories, right?
So you are a doctor of forgiveness.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
Like you say, whenever you preach about it, you get called into practice. But think about how terrifying it is if you actually write a thesis, a PhD thesis on the topic of forgiveness. My wife and family can hold that up for me every time I need to be reminded. So I spent a lot of time thinking and talking with people about these kinds of stories. And of course, I have my own stories as well. I think some of the most heroic examples that we've kind of seen that I'll have to point to are people like the family that chose to forgive the hit and run, the driver that killed the children. Their names got Danny and Lydia Abdullah.
Yeah, and, that was very, very moving, wasn't it?
It was incredibly moving. And I was really privileged to hear them speak at Parliament House last year at the National Prayer Breakfast. And it was a beautiful moment, I think, because they took something that is deeply, deeply Christian, and I think is motivated and only really makes sense in a Christian worldview. And they were able to speak about it in a really beautiful and touching way, right at the heart of our centre of government. And I thought that was a really lovely Christian moment. So, I find sharing those stories and hearing each other's stories a really great way to keep us seeing how beautiful forgiveness is and how beautiful the gospel is.
Yeah amen. And what a great testimony, and what light shines. Because as humans, the human reaction to hurt and trauma and pain is to hate, is to be angry, is to lash out, isn't it? That's the human response. And but the Christian response of forgiveness, I mean, I don't know about you, I can't think of any other religion in the world that really encourages forgiveness so much as Christianity. It's just one of the many ways Christians shine light into our world, isn't it?
It is, and I actually think that's fascinating. There's a famous Jewish philosopher named Hannah Arendt, who wrote some amazing books in the 1950s. But in her book, The Human Condition, she actually says that Jesus of Nazareth is the discoverer of forgiveness in human affairs. So she makes that claim that it is a really uniquely Christian thing. And part of my research was to actually go and try and study that and see, is that true? Is it the case that forgiveness is a uniquely Christian idea? And I think it is. I think that's true historically. If you go back before Jesus, it's very hard to find anything like what we call forgiveness in the classical Greek or Roman world. And every society has some way of dealing with wrongdoing. That's kind of part of what it means to be a human society. But only Christian societies actually think of forgiveness as in the particular way of what you said before, maintaining the wrongness of the wrong, but actually changing our response to the wrongdoer. And that's a really uniquely Christian idea.
It's incredible, isn't it? And you think about the Romans and the Greeks, and a lot of people don't realise in the modern West just how much our society is shaped by ancient Rome and ancient Greece. So many of the ideas, philosophies, democracy, the concept of democracy, our judicial system, so much actually does trace back to Rome and Greece. And the thing about, I was in the British Museum once, Stan, and just looking at the exhibits for ancient Greece and Rome, and I suddenly realized when I looked at the religious aspects of their societies that their gods were angry, they were violent, they were mischievous, they were indifferent at times, they were cold. And so, yeah, I mean, how is that going to breed a culture of forgiveness? But the amazing thing about the God we serve is Jesus is on the cross when the whole mob is cursing him and just ridiculing him. They're murdering him slowly through a torturous death. And he's like, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Like, our God is a forgiving God. We're the only ones in the world who worship a God as forgiving as Jesus.
That's exactly right. And isn't that just an incredible thing, the moment that you're pointing out, the moment of Jesus' death, he prays for the forgiveness of those who are killing him. And you're right, that's utterly unique. And I think it shows, again, that forgiveness is right at the heart of what Jesus practices and what he teaches his disciples to practice. And so if we're people who love Jesus and we want to, you know, in the Great Commission it tells us to teach each other to obey Jesus' commands, that's one of his commands, and it's a really central one, is to engage in this practice of forgiveness with each other.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to open the talkback lines now on 1-800-316-316, 1-800-316-316. We've got Dr. F in the house today, Dan. He has a doctorate in forgiveness. Can you believe he did a PhD in forgiveness? But we'd love to hear your story. And you may think, oh, your story's insignificant or it's not such a big deal. But I think every story is a great story. And I believe people's stories will encourage others today to walk down this path of forgiveness. Because for many of us, forgiveness is actually a path to healing. It's a path to joy. I know, Dan, you know, once a lady had a really bad knee and she wanted me to pray for a knee to be healed, and I did pray for a knee and nothing happened. And I just had a sense in my heart that she may have some unforgiveness towards someone. I just said, look, is there anyone that you might be a bit angry with? She goes, oh, yeah, there's someone. I just can't forgive them. I said, you know, I think if you forgive them, you may find your body even responds to that forgiveness. And sure enough, long story cut short, she forgave them and she found healing in her body as a result of that. Now, that's not to say every sickness is caused by this, but sometimes I think spiritual things that we hold on to can actually hold us back in lots of areas of our lives, our relationships, our careers, our vocations, our jobs, whatever it is. We are talking about forgiveness today, and we're asking people to tell your story about forgiveness, how you've had to forgive or how you've wrestled with this, but how you finally yielded to it and found real freedom. And we've got quite a few callers, which is great. And I'm going to take the first one now, which is Robin from Logan Village. Robin, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Tell us your story about forgiveness.
Well, it's a bit of a complex story about family and having a couple of deaths in the family, siblings, and probably not being cherished as a child. I'm the last of four, and two died. So probably not being cherished as a child. And actually having, sorry, I got all emotional, and having to work through forgiving my parents.
That's okay. So with all that childhood experience, did you find it hard to forgive people?
Sure did, especially my parents. And God led my husband and I to a church at Park Ridge. And I was invited to the women's breakfast. This was only last year. And guess what the subject was? Forgiveness. So I couldn't escape God, could I?
No.
I had to go. Well, I wanted to. And such a relief. And I think also, if we don't forgive, there's a blockage between us and the Lord and what he can provide for us and bless us with.
Yeah, absolutely. So can I ask, so you heard the word about forgiveness and, but, you know, like Jesus said, you know, it's one thing to hear the word, but we've actually got to act on the word. So how did you respond to that message? What did you do to really enact that and start to forgive?
Well, they had a, they asked people to come up for prayer. I think I was the first one there because I knew I went to that breakfast because of that message, and I needed to process the unforgiveness that I had. So I had people pray for me. And one lady described that I had like a weed in my spirit, and the roots had grown through into me, and it was like unforgiveness was, you know, throughout my spirit. And they prayed for that to be released and removed, and I felt an instant shift. But I still forgive my parents. Like, every time I forgive, think about them, I think it's an ongoing process, you know, because we're so quick to judge and hold unforgiveness. I think, is that just human nature? I feel like it is.
Absolutely. But can I ask, though, what has changed since you've decided to go on this journey of forgiveness? Describe to us how your life has changed.
How long have we got? I've been so incredibly blessed. We've had a few words from our pastor, and the heavens will, you know, open up to us and be so incredibly blessed. And that we got a word the other day, Deuteronomy 28:12, and that the storehouse of the Lord will be showered upon us, and that we won't have to borrow, and that we'll be able to help the nations. I'm like, wow, the nations.
So it's given you a real sense of faith and hope for the future. Dan, are you there? Do you want to respond to Robin? Hello, have we lost Dan? We might have lost Dan because he was going into a lift to go downstairs, but we'll get back to Dan. But, yeah, so you've just experienced a real sense of faith for the future.
God is with me. God is with me. I'm a work in progress. You know, we have to forgive 70 times 7. So often when I think of my parents, I still forgive them.
Yeah. So we're just talking to Robin, Dan. We've got Dan back now, and she's just saying how she went to a church last year, heard a message on forgiveness at a breakfast, and she decides to go on that journey and forgive her parents, and just such a sense of faith for the future. And Dan, have you got a response for Robin?
That's incredible, Robin, and wonderful to hear you doing that. I'm sure it's difficult, isn't it? And it often takes a process of being able to confront the reality of the wrongdoing as well as moving on.
But the thing is, Dan, what she said, though, is she feels like it's a journey. It's not just a one-off, I've decided to forgive, because we're dealing with childhood trauma and neglect and just lots of stuff she went through. So have you got some advice for Robin on how to walk through this journey of forgiveness?
I think that's a really helpful place to start, by acknowledging that it is a journey. It's not a one-off moment, and that it involves usually a couple of different stages. Some of it, and it depends on the context that you're in, Robin, and sometimes it's possible to actually work something out to actually be able to talk to the person who's wronged you. Other times it's not. Sometimes it's a process of actually allowing yourself to experience the really strong emotions of anger and disappointment, because that's part of acknowledging that it was really wrong, and then moving from that to the process of letting it go. There are some really helpful books and literature out there that you can read to help think through that process. But acknowledging that it is a process is probably one of the most important places to start.
Okay, so number one, just acknowledge that it's a journey. It's not just a one-off event. And number two, getting resources and books. Does any great Christian books on forgiveness come to mind, Dan, straight away for us?
There's a psychologist named Robert Enright who has written some really excellent stuff on this. He's a Christian psychologist and written some stuff on forgiveness therapy and actually the processes that we move through in able to engage in that. So you could look up his name and see some of his books.
Yeah. Robert Enright, and that's Enright. Robin, we've got a couple other callers waiting, but I just want to thank you for having the courage to ring us today and telling a little bit of your story, and just praying that your story continues, that you just find more and more healing and forgiveness and restoration of everything that God wants you to enjoy in this life with you and your husband and your family.
That's right. And I just hope it touches somebody else and they can forgive whoever has wronged them as well. Because it is possible, and it is so freeing, and you have an even better relationship with the Lord that you didn't know you could have.
Well said, Robin. So appreciate you calling in. That was Robin from Logan Village in Queensland. We've got a couple other callers waiting. We'll just quickly go to one before we break for our news. And we have got William on the line now. William, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me too. How are you this morning? Yeah, my story is I was basically bullied from prep to grade six back in the 70s and 80s. And I really sort of struggled with that because, you know, I wasn't able to sort of fend for myself or anything like that, being the classic sort of 90-pound weakling, but I wasn't even that weight in primary school kind of thing. But my bullies, you know, did it time and time again. You know, I've still basically got a bit of scarring from it on the elbows and the knees sort of thing. But after I became a Christian at the age of 19, 5 months afterwards, I'd only been sort of saved since August 1989, went to this youth group service in January, and the message was about forgiveness. And God spoke to my heart and said, you need to forgive your bullies. And I'm like, but God, they did this, they did this, they did this for so many years. You need to forgive your bullies. But they did this and this and this. You need to forgive your bullies. And eventually, you know, after sort of two or three promptings, I basically put my hand on my heart and said, okay, Lord, I forgive them. And at that instant, the burden, which was basically almost like it was a physical burden, basically lifted from my shoulders like that.
Man, that is such a powerful story. William, I'm really glad you called today because bullying is a huge issue in Australian schools to this day. And you told your story how you went to a youth group meeting and someone was talking about forgiveness and you wrestled with God and you finally chose to forgive. And I just want to ask you, William, how has your life changed since you decided to let go of the hurt and the pain and to forgive?
Yeah, look, nothing else. I mean, it's just remarkable because, you know, obviously because Christ forgives us while we were yet sinners, as the scripture says, but because I'd been bullied for 12 years in school, seven years in school, it was so hard to come to that point because it was close to a daily thing. By the end of grade six, guys, I couldn't actually write a coherent paragraph of written English together because I was such a mental and physical wreck.
Man.
And I didn't obviously realise at the time that it had affected my spirit. But it was when I was 19 that, you know, going on 20, that, you know, I got to that point where God, you know, said, you need to forgive your bullies. And once I did, that burden, which was basically in my heart, my spirit, my body, after carrying it for so long, I could release and say, okay, I forgive them. And now that I've been a Christian for 34 years, you know, God has given me the gift of writing. So I have a little acronym which I'd like to give you guys and record somehow.
Please do. Please do.
To forgiveness, which is F for freedom, O for only, R for really, G for gained, I for if, you as in the person, value, which is V, E for everyone. So freedom only really gained if you value everyone.
Incredible.
And, you know, it's one of those things that I needed to do, and I also have got to a point where I've forgiven my parents for my upbringing, which was somewhat dysfunctional. And that's really hard when it's your own parents. I won't go into detail, but yeah, there was, because I guess my parents sort of suffered trauma during their war-torn, growing up in war-torn world back in World War II, their trauma had basically sort of been passed to me, which I only sort of recently realised. But I'll share one more thing, if I may. In regards to war, my mum basically lost her dad in World War II. She was only 9 years old. And she had basically prayed every day when her dad went to war that God would bring him home. And God didn't bring him home. He suffered and died on the Burma Railway as a victim of the Japanese POW. Now, I said to Mum probably 18 months ago, I said, Mum, look, the reason why God didn't answer your prayer to bring your dad home is that God took him home. The trauma that you would have experienced, your sisters, your mum, the community in South Australia, the little town you grew up in, the trauma and the unforgiveness towards others could have taken place that would have been so painful. So God took him home and didn't allow you to suffer to see the way that your dad would have been. So you need to forgive the Japanese. And she hasn't got to that point yet. She's 92 and a half.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, you're a good son for encouraging her on that journey as well, William. But I just want to thank you so much for calling today, because your story, it's so relevant. There's so many people being bullied in Australian schools, even workplaces today. And just thank you for having the courage to call in with your story. And even, and again, that whole story about your mum's dad losing his life at the hands of a really cruel Japanese regime at the time. But I just pray for you and your mum, especially, William, that she will also find the same forgiveness that you've found. And I just want to thank you again for calling us on 2020 today.
Thanks for the opportunity. Such an amazing time to be able to do so. It's so important.
God bless you, William. God bless you, mate.
Thanks.
And Dan, I just want to ask, we've got a couple more callers, and I encourage those callers just to wait, and we will come to you. But moving beyond, these individual stories are so moving, and that whole Japanese thing. I think there was a famous Korean pastor called Yonggi Cho who had a very similar experience. He was beaten up by Japanese soldiers in World War II, and he had to forgive as a Christian, and he did. And then God opened up all these doors in Japan for him so he could preach the gospel over there. But moving beyond these individual stories, which are so moving, let's talk about broader society and wider issues with forgiveness, and even in the area of government. Dan, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I want to kind of stay with those individual stories, because I think, like you say, they're really beautiful. I want to say thank you to William for sharing that. I thought it was incredibly moving to hear his testimony of the healing that God has brought in his life. There were two things actually that stood out to me from William's story that I think actually have broader implications for how we think about society and politics even. One came out of that little acronym that he shared, which is about valuing everyone. And that is very tricky to do. But one of the reasons that forgiveness is a uniquely Christian concept, and one of the things that empowers Christians to forgive, is the knowledge that each of us are created in God's image and loved by him. Even the worst of us still bears the image of our Creator. And that actually means that we take wrongdoing very seriously. When a wrong is done to someone, it's done against someone who God loves and made. And so we Christians take wrongdoing very seriously, and forgiveness isn't excusing wrongdoing. But because the wrongdoer is also loved by God, it means that we don't write people off. We find a way to bring even the wrongdoers back into relationship. And that's what our God does. And as Christians, we look forward to a day in the future when God will reconcile all of those who trust in him. Even in our churches and even in our lives where there are deep pains and divisions, God will one day, if we trust in him, he will one day reconcile us even to those who have hurt us deeply or who we have hurt. Now, that faith and that hope has real implications for how we treat each other in public context as well. One of the realities of a society that's trapped in conflict, and this is the other thing that came out of William's story, is that we find intergenerational cycles of trauma and wrongdoing where one generation commits an atrocity and then the next revisits it again, and it goes round and round, and we see it in families, we see it in societies. We're seeing it in the Middle East at the moment. And to break those cycles actually takes a commitment on a whole group of people to engage in something like a practice of forgiveness.
Yep. Yep. And again, and we can see equal amounts of freedom and healing and restoration even in a collective sense, can't we, as well as an individual sense. But Dan, I want to also just ask another caller. It's Mary from Hobart in Tasmania. Mary, I want to thank you for your patience and waiting so long, but we would love to hear your story today, Mary. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you.
What would you like to share today?
My story is that my husband had an affair with my sister.
Yeah, that's awful. And so you've obviously since then had to forgive?
I have, yeah. So basically, you know, she was spending a lot of time. We were separated at the time for just a trial separation for 6 months, and during that time, she was spending a lot of time talking to him and trying to help him through our breakup. And apparently, when he came onto her, she felt that if she knocked him back, that would she'd lose that relationship she had with him, and therefore she wouldn't be able to help us anymore. So instead, she went along with him and led him to believe that she was willing party. And
But obviously, you've been confronted with that news, which is just awful, and it's terrible. But how have you been able to find the place in your heart to forgive?
Yeah, well, I was faced with the choice that I either, you know, I wiped her off as a sister, but we'd had a good relationship, my sister and I. All the other choice was to forgive her. And, you know, it was a very, very hard decision to make. But in the end, I thought, no, I love my sister. I hate what she's done. I hate the fact that she can't ask for my forgiveness because she felt that she'd done nothing wrong. And she said, you know, if I ask you to forgive me, I have to admit that I've done something wrong, and I haven't. So I had to forgive a person that had wronged me that didn't believe they'd done anything wrong to me. So it was extremely hard, yeah.
Oh, I bet. Dan, have you got a response for Mary from Hobart?
Yeah, two things really jump out at me from that. One, again, that's an awful thing to have to live through, Mary. The two things that kind of jumped out for me from what you said there was the way that you kind of zoomed out from just the wrongdoing itself to think more broadly about the person as a whole. You remember that she was your sister and that you had a good relationship. And sometimes that's a really important part of the process of forgiveness, is when we've been deeply hurt, we our attention gets really zoomed in on the thing that hurt us. And sometimes it's zooming out to remember more about who the person is that offended us. And again, to remember that they're loved and a child of God as well. But the other thing that you were talking about just then that I think a lot of us will resonate is the difficult process of trying to engage in forgiveness with someone who isn't sorry. And that question about repentance and forgiveness is a really difficult one, isn't it?
Very. I think that's been the hardest. And I keep praying that one day she will wake up and realise, oh my God, I really did wrong my sister, and that she will come to me and say, I'm sorry. And if that happened, I think I could just completely leave it be and not go back and revisit it. It's hard not to revisit it. You know, you have images that come to you frequently. I have images of her with my husband, you know, and that's very hard to deal with.
It's tormenting, Mary, yeah. And Dan, what would you say to that? Like, let's pretend, Dan, that the sister doesn't come back and say sorry. What's your advice to Mary? Because I know there's many people listening right now that have gone through a similar experience.
Well, I think the full picture of what we mean by forgiveness actually does require some kind of repentance from the person who's done the wrong thing. Like, truth and establishing the wrongness of the wrong is a part of the process of forgiveness. And I don't think you can get all the way there without that. But I think what we're called to do as Christians is to kind of have the virtue of forgivingness. And that's exactly what Mary just talked about. It's that willingness to be ready to forgive when the person comes, and to be gracious and to be patient while we wait for those moments. So it's kind of having the open hand extended, ready for the other person to take it. And that's the thing that I think we are called to as Christians, and we're able to do because we know that God has treated us that way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mary, we've got a couple other callers waiting, but I want to thank you so much for having the courage to call us today. And we're just praying for you and for your sister for some reconciliation there and some healing. But thank you again for having the courage to call us on 2020 today.
Okay, thanks.
God bless.
Bye.
Yeah, you know, interesting, Dan. I think we've really been confronted with three probably very common stories in Australia. Bullying, childhood bullying, you know, trauma, family trauma when we're young, and infidelity. Sadly, infidelity is becoming a big issue in our society as well. The more selfish people become, the more chance there is of betrayal and just the awful experience that people like Mary have been through. But we have two other calls. We're going to try and get through them, and I'm going to ask the callers to be really brief. Sue, also from Tasmania, welcome to the program, Sue.
Oh, good morning, Andrew, and thank you so much for having this today, because it's so, so important. And my heart went out to all three of your previous callers, because my life has required an enormous amount of forgiveness of parents and others. And so when you've had all three of those issues, bullying, trauma and infidelity and betrayal and all of those things, as I did, and there's been profound loss and grief as a result of it, forgiveness is absolutely fundamental to our health and well-being, but also in our journey with God and Jesus, as I found.
So, Sue, I just want to ask you, tell us, what was your biggest hurdle to forgiving? You've obviously gone on a journey of forgiveness. What was your biggest hurdle, and how did you jump over it?
Well, it was quite extraordinary, Andrew, in as much as it took me living and working with the Aboriginal people in the Northern Territory to realise why my family was so toxic and so dysfunctional, because the community I worked in, there was a lot of joy, they were very connected, and it was just quite amazing, just the energy that resonated in that community that was missing in my own life and my own family. And I used to pray a lot about it, because I was a very religious young person, and I prayed a lot to God. But I pray the Lord's Prayer a lot. Didn't know Jesus at that stage. And so I hadn't been born again. But while I was working on this community, trying to understand why the family was so fragmented and troubled, I suddenly had a vision. It was really quite incredible the way God ministered to me, because he gave me a vision of my parents and siblings and former husbands all lined up in front of a huge screen, and it was as if God was behind the screen and he was saying, this is what you have done to my beloved daughter, this is what you have said, and you will be judged lest you repent. And at that moment I just knew I had to forgive them all and learn to really love them in the manner that God wants us to love one another. And And where the scriptures say 7 times 77, or Jesus 7 times 77 is forgiveness, I actually found for many years it was 365 days a year. Because much as in that process of understanding that they were victims themselves and had to repent, I had to forgive them. So I prayed to God in that moment and asked him to help me to forgive them.
Incredible.
And in doing so, like William, I had this sense of something. It was almost just like a physical manifestation leaving me, my shoulders, and freeing me up. So I had a freedom from that time on. And it was when I came to know Jesus 2 years later, my healing really began to kick in.
Well, wow, isn't that amazing? Sue, I want to thank you so much for calling, and we've got one more caller to get through. But, Dan, have you just got a response for Sue? Because it sounds like Sue has been through all three of the experiences our previous callers went through, and she somehow found the strength to forgive.
Again, just incredible to hear of God's power to convict you and to aid you in that. I think the thing that resonated for me with the story also of knowing our own place before God, both as loved, but also as someone who's been deeply forgiven. And I think that's the deep wellspring from which we draw on in order to forgive other people, isn't it?
Yeah, amazing. Sue, thank you so much for calling. We want to give this other call the opportunity, but we always love hearing your voice. We pray God blesses you and continues to restore you to everything that he has for your life as well.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
See you, Sue. And we will take one more call. And thanks again to everyone who has called in today. It's not an easy thing to share your story, especially on a live radio program. And I just know these stories have just encouraged so many people today. I mean, I'm encouraged. I don't know about you, Dan, but I'm encouraged by just hearing these stories of God working in people's hearts. And our final caller is calling from Perth in WA. Welcome to 2020.
Yes, I think I have a classical unforgiveness issue. One of my brothers received lots of support towards his interests, but any of my interests weren't important at all. There's always an atmosphere of indifference towards me. I feel like I've been at a crossroads towards my father for so long, and it does affect other areas in my life as well, such as reticence and fear in other relationships.
So how have you walked through that, my friend? Have you found forgiveness in your heart yet, or are you still on that journey?
Well, it's forgiveness in my head, but not in my heart, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad you've been honest about it. And Dan, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So this guy knows in his mind he needs to forgive, but his heart, he's not feeling it. So what's your advice to him?
I mean, I think that is a really difficult position. And I think all of us can, again, find ourselves in that position at times. One of the things I do want to say really clearly is that feeling the negative emotions, feeling anger and sadness and disappointment, is actually also a proper and appropriate thing in its time. It's right to feel angry when you've been harmed. And so sometimes the process actually does involve maybe not just trying to skip over that too quickly, to actually be able to tell your story, to express your feelings of sadness and anger to a trusted person that can hear that well, and to be able to say back to you, actually, what happened to you was really wrong. We need to hear that it was really wrong in order to be able to move forward to the next step of the process, which is to be able to let go our response to that wrongdoing. So sometimes it is important maybe to go through that part of the process as well before we're able to kind of deal with some of those other feelings.
Yeah, well said. And to our caller from WA there, I just want to thank you so much for calling. We've run out of time. We've got to move on to the show today, but we really appreciate you sharing your story and hoping and praying that the advice that Dan and the other callers today have given will help you on your journey of healing as well. And it sounds like we've lost you in there. But Dan, I just want to thank you for your time today. What a great topic. We could talk about this for hours. We could do a whole week on this. Forgiveness.
I feel like we could, and there's enough stories, aren't there?
Oh, and just enough truth. And as I said, sadly, I wish, you know, between now and heaven, you and I will never have to forgive again. But we will, Dan. We will.
That's right.
And sadly, you and I will also probably do things that will cause other people out to forgive us. I probably did things in the traffic this morning that someone right now is forgiving me for, you know. Like, it's just, it's a world full of humans. And when we're with humans, we have to forgive. But if you don't know, Reverend Dr. Dan Anderson is the director of the Lachlan Macquarie Institute based in Canberra. If you want to subscribe to his monthly newsletter, and it is a gold mine of gems and nuggets and jewels, which are going to be good for your soul, go to lmi.org.au. That's lmi.org.au. It's Reverend Dr. Dan Anderson. Dan, any final thoughts for 30 or 60 seconds before we finish off today?
Thanks, Andrew. It's been a real privilege. And like I say, I think in the world that we live in, particularly in a world of cancel culture and real political polarization, sometimes forgiveness is actually the way that Christians will stand out and make a difference. So I want to keep encouraging us to do that. As you said, please I'd love to encourage people to check us out at lmi.org.au. We're running a conference in the second half of the year called Categoria, where we try to think through a whole bunch of different ways that Christians can engage the culture. And I'm sure some of your listeners would be interested in that as well. They can find details about that on the website.
So again, they go to lmi.org.au to find out about that conference. And Dan, keep up the good work. You're shining a light in Canberra there. You're encouraging young men and women to lead.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.